Praise God. I want to go to Psalms 2. Begin reading with verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? In the Amplified, the verse says, why do the nations assemble with commotion, uproar and confusion of voices? And why do the people imagine, meditate upon, devise an empty scheme? Now in the King James 2nd verse says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let me just break this down to you, what David is writing here. In verse of the King James, it says, let us break their bands asunder. In other words, here's the people, the kings of the earth, people who have set themselves up, who have said basically what Satan said, I'll exalt my throne above the Most High. And whatever kind of standard of measurement he has, it isn't going to apply to us. That standard isn't going to apply to us. We're going to break that off of us. Who does God think he is that he can measure me by his standard? That's exactly what this is saying. The kings, they rage, they make a commotion, they think that they can absolutely out-talk God, outmaneuver God, outfigure God. And they say, oh, we're just going to break his bands off of us. In other words, we don't have to live by his rules. We don't have to live by his constraints. We don't have to live by his standards. We don't have to. We'll break them off of us. They won't have any control over our lives. We'll do whatever we set is right in our eyes. That's exactly what this is saying. And they're raging, angry. Have you ever had a person that's demonically forced and pushed after you? I have. And they are enraged that you would question them. They're enraged and angry that you would think anything bad about them. Like, who am I to question them? They're enraged. They're angry. They're angry at God more than they're angry at you. But you just happen to be the one who's got the standard. You got the standard in your life, because you have set a decree in your heart that God is true. When you have set it in your heart that God is true, when you understand truth, eternal concepts that God set forth out of his own mouth, things that God said, this is the standard of measurement for all eternity in all of the kingdom of heaven, all the universes, all of life is set in motion, and it's all going to have to line up with this standard God has set. And it's called truth. It's called something called truth. You know, people have no concept of what truth is. What is truth? All of the philosophical leaders and people of all the ages have pondered, what is truth? Let's figure out truth. Let's figure out what's right. Let's figure out what's wrong. Do you know that's what happened to man when he got kicked out of the garden? He was eating of a tree freely called the tree of life. The tree of life. And I believe you could also call that tree of life the way, the truth, and the life. It was a tree of truth. It was a tree of life. It brought life, and as long as they ate of it, they would have never died. But one day, man said, I'm going to eat of the other tree, the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. And from that day forward, the whole human race have tried to set their own standard of what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. And they have walked away from eating of truth. What is the truth? What is really the truth? What really is God's standard? What really is God's way of doing things? What really governs the whole universe? And they've been renegade in their hearts, and they said, we won't do it your way, God. We're going to do it our way. And so they've walked away from the tree of life, which is truth, and they have eaten of their own tree, of their own knowledge of good and evil, what is right and what is wrong, and they've set their own standards and their own boundaries, and that's what the kings are raging about. That's what the heathens are doing. They have raised up their own way of life and the way of doing things, and they say, we're not going to let God's standards control us anymore. We'll break his standards and his bounds and his controls off of us. He won't have anything to do with me. He cannot tell me what to do. I will do it my way and my way only, and it will work. That's what the heathens do. Heathens do this. Not God's people. Heathens. Heathens. Don't call your children heathens, because they're not. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Do you know the Bible says, God said, I will not destroy the earth anymore for man's sake, but because, and you know, he said that their hearts, the imagination of their heart was evil continually. God knows people's hearts. He knows the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? It's in the heart of man. Man is just bent on doing bad. Unless you've been born again, unless you've received the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost, until you've accepted him, and then you allow him to set up residence. And guess what he brings in when he comes in and sets up residence in you? He brings the standard back. He brings the standard back. He brings something back for you to look at and something you can measure your life by. He says, okay. I know you've been on your own way, and you've been doing your own thing, and you've been working it all out on your own imaginations and your own way of doing thing. And God says, I got the standard. I've got truth. You want to look at it? You want to check it out? Because if you live by this truth, guess what? Only good can come to you, because only life is in truth. Only good is in truth. Only the best for you is in truth. Now, I know it's foreign to you. I know you may not like how it looks, but I'll tell you, if you listen to it, the Bible says it's life to those that find it, the standard, and it's health to all their flesh. It even affects your flesh. You got acne problems or skin issues? Believe me, it'll clear up, because it'll come out from the inside and ooze through your pores, this truth. It's amazing how truth will affect your entire being. Spirit, soul, and body. It'll make you think right. You'll get the best sleep you ever got in your life when you've got truth as your standard. When you've got truth, and thank God I don't have to figure it out by myself. I have a comforter. That's why Jesus told the disciples, he said, I know y'all clinging on me. You don't want me to go, but I'm telling you what, it's for your good that I get out of here. So once I get out of here and I check out and my time is up, my time clock is checked out, and I've done what I was called to do here, and I've finished my course, and I've done what I was called of God to do, and I can send you back the Comforter. Because when he comes, he is the Spirit of truth, and he will do something for you in an individual way. I can't live in you. See, Jesus as a person on the earth before he went to the cross could not get inside of you. He was just one Jesus walking the sea of seas and the shore of Galilee. He was only one person in the flesh. God made manifest in the flesh. The Word was made manifest in the flesh. Now the Word of God can be made manifest in your flesh through the Spirit of truth abiding and living in you by the standard of truth that you will allow to work through you. Do you know your flesh can manifest standard of truth if you want it to? Think about that a moment. I don't know if I could even repeat that. The Spirit of truth Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, I cannot send the comforter to you. But when I go away, I will send the comforter to you. And he will live in you. He will be in you. He will comfort you. He will be your guide. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will bring you peace. He will comfort you when you're sad. He will lift you up to be glad. He will give you peace like you've never known. He will show you the way of life. He will give you truth. He'll give you revelation out of heaven. He will bring things to your understanding. He will show you things to come before they ever happen. He'll prepare your heart to receive the bad news. He'll prepare your heart to receive the good news. He'll get you ready for whatever you need to be ready for, whatever job God has called you to do, whatever plan God has for your life. He will get you ready for it. You don't have to do anything alone anymore. That's why it was so important Jesus went to the cross and was raised from the dead and received it back up into heaven, because the promise of the Holy Spirit could not come until all that took place. Exactly the way it did. Had to happen the way it did. And I'm so glad I wasn't around. I wasn't a part of all that. Because I would never have gone to the cross. I could have not done that. It took the Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, to do that job. And to make that possible for us. So when you accept him, what you're doing is you're going back to that moment in time at the cross. And you're receiving blessing. And that receiving, the reception. It's like I'm plugging in to what he did. So I can receive of all the benefits. And I can receive of this standard for myself. And I'm going to tell you what. When I first got this standard inside me, the Holy Ghost inside of me, he didn't show me the whole thing at once. Because I couldn't have received it. It's like a little child. You don't take an infant and start cramming meat down that child. And you don't start cramming theology down that child. And you don't start cramming, you know, geometry or metrics. Or you don't start cramming anything really down a baby. It takes time for that baby to have a concept, an understanding of right and wrong in the things of the kingdom of heaven. Because, see, right and wrong is still right and wrong. But the kingdom of heaven operates by a totally different standard than what the world has set up. Totally different. Now that song blesses me so much this morning about he reigns. He reigns. He really does reign. Let's finish reading this, Psalms. Let's go to verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. This is Jesus talking. This is King David speaking by prophecy of the Holy Ghost. Concerning Jesus. This is Jesus speaking prophetically through David the king. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Oh, I love this Psalms. Because when the heathen rage against me, and the people set up a standard that's against this standard, the heavenly standard that I live by, that's in my heart, that's been decreed in my life, and I have decreed this same truth right here. He's at my right hand because I'm at his right hand. See, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father forever. And you can say the same thing that David prophesied. I will declare the decree. You see, a lot of people don't understand how to declare a decree. What is a decree? How do you declare a decree in your life? Well, you can't do it unless you understand the standard of truth. It's really hard to declare something you don't know. It's really hard to declare and set up in your life something that is an absolute. Do you all understand what an absolute is? Our generation's almost lost an absolute. What are absolutes? There are absolute things that will never change. My family always got so mad at me, angry at me. I think they got more angry at me because they just thought I knew everything. I heard that all the time. You just think you know everything. You think you're always right. No, I don't think I'm always right, but I know who is always right. And I just come into agreement with him. There are things that are just absolute truths that you can agree with. And then let's take it a step further. Let's go a little step further here. The believer has a right to declare a decree based on the standard of what you have said in your heart to be truth, if it's truth. Now, if you're a heathen that's raging and you think you've got it all figured out and you've got your own standard over here and it's contrary to this standard, God's going to laugh at you. God will laugh at you. He'll have you in so much confusion. And in fact, God doesn't have to really do anything. The mess will just create itself. Because it's not a standard. It's not the heavenly standard. It's not the right standard. Are you all understanding this message? And he says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Do you know that you are a son of God? And you can know that? That can be your decree. And you can know that everything that is his belongs to you. He said, all that is mine is thine. That's an awesome thing to meditate on. All that is mine is thine. Ask of me. This is another promise. Ask of me. Talking about Jesus. Jesus is saying this to the church. Ask of me. Ask of me. And I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Everything they own, everything they possess, everything they have in the earth. You know how to set a decree. You know how to speak to mountains. You know how to call those things that are not as though they are. You know your God. And you know He is the Son of God. And He has told you, ask of me. Ask of me. Anything any two of you shall touch in agreement? Anything you need in agreement? Ask of me. What things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. Does that apply to everybody? No, that only applies to those who are walking in the standard. Walking in the truth. Walking in the knowledge that He's your God. He's your God. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen, and for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. This is a warning to people who are in positions to rule over other people. This is a warning to anyone in the earth who has authority over other human beings. Whether you be a king, no matter who you are, if you are in charge of somebody else's life and you have authority over that person's life, be concerned because God is watching. God knows. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, and be instructed, O you judges of the earth. I look at the Supreme Court of this country and the ones who passed the law and voted that it's okay to kill unborn babies. They will stand before an almighty God one day for thousands and, well, millions of unborn, innocent little children. They'll stand in judgment of that. I would not want to be a judge, not know the standard that they're going to be judged by. I would not want to be a person of judgment. Unless I knew the judgments of God and I knew my judgments were lining up with His judgments, because you will stand in judgment of what you judge, especially if it's contrary to this, because only evil will come of anything outside of this. I would not want to be a judge or a lawyer. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, You know what? You all may think this is a little bit out there. This verse right here was one of the first verses the Lord ever gave me as a baby Christian. Because I have a tendency to be a little bit on the haughty side. To a little bit on the I know it all side. I mean, that's just my nature. You know, I worked with doctors for 20 years. And you got to get in their faces. You got to be bold. You got to be able to deal with things. You got to make decisions. I was always put in positions, and God's just my nature. Some of us are just like that more than other people. I'm not afraid of much, even when I wasn't even a Christian. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's just some people that are less, more timid than others. I was never a timid person. Get me? Promise you. I promise you. This didn't mess me over. God knows our hearts.
Yes, praise God.
I don't care if you're timid or if you're weak or meek or whatever your personality is. We still got the standard to go by. But especially if you're the kind of person like I was, this is what the Lord spoke to me as a very young Christian. He said, you better learn how to kiss the Son. Let me be angry and you be turned out of the way. And I used to say, Lord, what are you talking about here? What are you talking about, God? What are you talking about, kiss the Son, lest you be angry? I just know you love me no matter what. I just know you're going to forgive me no matter what. There's a place that you better learn to kiss the Son. There's a place you don't tread. There's places you don't go. There's things you don't get in God's face and get haughty about. There's things of humility that I've learned to walk in. You know, even though I thought I was right, I've learned to back and be humble and kiss him and honor him. And no matter whether I thought I was right or I didn't know what was going on, I know there's a standard that I have to live by. And that's called kissing the Son. That's called bowing to the Word, bowing to and honoring the Word, respecting the Word higher than anything else. Because you know what your standard is? Do you know what every believer's standard of life is? It's this Bible right here. This is the standard we go by. And I will stand before God to give an account of what do I understand about this standard. You know, I think the ignorance, God said, I winked at ignorance once, but now he's calling all of us to righteousness. That's the standard. In Hebrews chapter 1... Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Bonnie said her boyfriend was in a church today that's 30-minute message. 30-minute message. I couldn't even hardly get started in 30 minutes. Wouldn't it be sad to drive an hour to church to hear the word and all you get is 30 minutes or 10 minutes? You're just getting warmed up. Just getting warmed up, y'all. Hebrews chapter 1. And let's look, I could read the whole thing, but I'm going to read verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Ooh, glory to God. You could just shout right there. Hallelujah. That's just good news that God has set a decree in heaven, earth, and hell. This is just the way it is. I didn't set this standard. God did. But this is what he said unto the Son. This is what he said about Jesus. God Almighty, the creator of all the universe, has said this about the God that created everything, said this about my Savior, my high priest, my King. The King is coming in. This is what God said. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, when you talk about a scepter, let's pretend this is a scepter. A scepter represents what rules in a kingdom. The scepter was a symbol Some scepters would have a head of a lion. Some would have the head of a snake or have a snake on. Different symbolisms would symbolize the power behind what ruled that kingdom. The power behind that kingdom. And they would use different emblems. God is saying the scepter of Jesus, his scepter, the power that reigns and rules in his kingdom. I'm talking forever and ever and ever, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his son, the kingdom he made for his son. The kingdom, the scepter of that kingdom, the power that rules behind that kingdom and controls all his domain is righteousness, truth, life. So when you understand that Jesus, my son, my Savior, the Son of God, God has decreed this. It's a decreed thing. Your throne is forever and ever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That's what he says. You better kiss the son, lest he be angry at you and you be turned out of the way. Because there are no favorites. It's about the standard. God has no favorites in the kingdom. I walk in fear of God because I know the standard. I understand this. I understand this concept. It's not just a concept, it's a truth. I understand the mercy of God, but I also understand the standard of God. I've learned to kiss the Son lest he be angry at me and I be turned out of the way. You only push God so far. You know that? You've loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, let me share something quickly here. If God has anointed Jesus above all other people because of his attitude about righteousness, do you not think that God will look at somebody who wants righteousness more than anything, who hates iniquity more than anything, is not going to also anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellows? You see, God is the same God for all creatures. If he sees a heart that wants him more than anything, that's why Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's because it's a change of heart. It's an attitude that, you know, I want your way, God. I want your standard in my life. I want righteousness above anything else. I'm going to hate iniquity, and I'm going to embrace and love righteousness. And therefore, he will anoint you with the oil of gladness also above your fellows. You see, I've been anointed with the oil of gladness because it's available. Oil of gladness is a good thing to be anointed with. It's a good thing to have. That's what puts a dance in my feet. That's why I can't come down here even alone and not dance before the Lord. That's why I will get in my apartment and I dance before the Lord. I have been anointed with an oil of gladness because I love righteousness and I hate iniquity, because that's his heart. That's my king's heart. I want to be like him. I want to think like him. I want to accept his standard for me. I want to go by this. Amen. I want to go to Isaiah 59. I woke up, it was on my heart all day yesterday. You see, we think God changes. We think he is a different God for different seasons of our lives. Really and truly, he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. Mm-hmm. Ten Commandments are still, I know Shirley and I, we've talked about the Ten Commandments. They are still the Ten Commandments. That's God's standard. That's God's truth. It will never change. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. That it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. See, I've learned to kiss the Son, lest he be angry at me and I be turned out of the way. I'm on the right way here, God. I want your standard. But he said, you better walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Jesus even said, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Dove ain't never hurt nobody. A dove doesn't kill, steal, and destroy. A serpent kills and steals and destroys. But you can be wise like that, but harmless. harmless as a dove. Another place Paul says, brethren, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're not ignorant of that. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perverseness. See, I've only got one tongue. It's the only tongue I got. Right here. Years ago, I remember being in a church, a little church of God, and the preacher had a message. I'll never forget this message about the long-tongued woman. He said, y'all need to come up here and put your tongue on this altar and let me anoint it with oil. Get that tongue straightened out. Well, yeah, that's kind of good. Because it is a member that cannot be tamed. No man can tame the tongue. The only way you're going to tame your tongue is to get your mind renewed to the Word of God and start operating under the standards, the things that God has said. So my tongue is my problem. I got to renew my mind. You know, I could say something. Let me say something right here. I just feel like I got to say this. There's a scripture in Romans that we better get in our hearts. It says, present your body. Romans 12. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is God talking. It's just God sits up there on his throne. He's created everything. He created you. He created me. He created everything. He doesn't think he's asking anything unreasonable of us to start renewing our minds according to the standard, which is his word. He says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove what is the standard. So you can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's the good, there's the acceptable, and there's the perfect. You can walk in all three. The best is the perfect will, which is the standard. A lot of people just get by with the best they can. And they might get by a while, but you better kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you at any moment and you be turned out of the way. He says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear me, David said in Psalms. I mean, if I know I'm doing wrong, I better get it right. If I know I'm sinning, I better stop it. If my tongue is lying, I better stop that lying. My tongue is my responsibility. If I'm hurting other people, I better stop hurting other people. If I'm stealing from somebody, if I'm cheating somebody, or if I'm lying, whatever I'm doing, I don't care what it is. If it's against the standard, I better stop it. I better stop it. I have responsible to stop it. My feet, where my feet go. You see, the word says, if your heart condemn you not, then you have confidence with God. That's the standard. He has given us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us and to keep us in line with his word. You know, the Lord convicts us. He chastens those he loves. But let me finish reading this because these verses just kept pulling on my heart. For your hands have defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any plead for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. The thing that jumps out in here at me the most right here in that verse 4, they trust in vanity. They trust. Their trust is not in God. They don't trust God. They trust that all their stuff is going to work it out. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment. There is none for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquity, we know them. We know them. For in transgression, transgressings and lyings against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and iniquity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord sought and displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness is sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. This is where God said, thy throne is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. In Psalms 2, he said, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. When he saw the wickedness of men, and it's still the same, he saw there was no intercessor. There was no one who could come and plead mankind's case before him. There was no salvation whatsoever until God called his son into that place of intercession for man. Until Jesus went to the cross and died and raised from the dead, there was nobody to plead the case of the hurting, the oppressed. Nobody. But now we have a high priest. Now we have a place to go. Now we have refuge. We have a place. We have a place, a standard that's been set. We can go there. We can go there. That's where I go. I go there every day. When I fail, when I sin, when I mess up, I go there. I kiss the Son. I kiss him. I bless him. I say, Lord, I want your way. I'm going to kiss you. I'm going to trust you. I don't trust in myself anymore. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and I be turned out of the way. I would humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Humble yourself under his hand. Admit that you're wrong. Admit you failed. Admit it. Just admit. And it's so easy to do, but so hard to walk in. Words are cheap. You got to do it from your heart. You got to really mean it. Isaiah 58. I've had this verse on my mind this morning. Isaiah 58. I won't be very long right here. Isaiah 58. Verse 1. Cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Holy Spirit keeps speaking to me. You're a watchman on the wall, Teresa. You're a watchman on the wall. I am, Lord. You're a watchman on the wall. That's what a pastor is, a watchman on the wall. You watch for men's souls. I pray all the time for somebody. I'm always praying for something and somebody. Holy Spirit brings people to my mind, and I'm praying for them. He shows me things about people. I have revelation of things. And the Lord says, you're a watchman. You have to cry loud. You have to lift up your voice like a trumpet. I can go into Walmart, and all of a sudden, you tell that person right there whatever he tells me to tell him. And I go, but the Lord just told me to tell you something. Messenger. And you're a watchman. Thing for your kids, don't you? You see them doing wrong, don't you try to tell them? Hey, you love them. God loves us. Verse 2 says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me, and the ordinance of justice, they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. What's happening here is that God is reproving a nation who had made fasting an ordinance and made fasting a way of a religious act. And they did all the right things. They came to church. They sought God. They prayed. They did all the things they were supposed to do. They fasted. And then they didn't see any results for their fasting. They didn't see any results in their prayers. They didn't see any results in anything they did. They're tithing, they're giving. What's the problem, God? We are fasting, we're seeking you. And God is saying, behold, the day of your fast, or the day of your sacrifice, whether it be money or food or whatever, the day of your giving or your fasting to me, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. It's about you. It's all about you. Behold, you fast to strife for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day. There's coming a change. This is what God is speaking. There's coming a change. Prophetically, God is speaking to a nation. There's coming a day when you're no longer going to lift your voice up on high like this. There's coming a day, he's talking about the sun again. Here's prophetically the sun in this message. You see, the church is never really clearly outlined in the Old Testament. It's in a mystery. Here's a mystery coming at you. The Lord is saying, there's coming a day, the day, right now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, that you will no longer fast the way you have under the old covenant. There's coming a day, a new covenant coming, that you won't fast like this anymore. Look what he says is going to happen. I'm going to tell you to make your voice to be heard on high. Let me tell you how you're going to make your voice heard on high on that day. In the day that we're living in today, this is the new order. This is the standard that God has ordained through the Son. Remember he said there was no intercessor? Remember there was nobody that stood in the gap until Jesus came? There was no high priest for man? There was no man seated at the right hand of God interceding for you and me? We had no representation. We had no days man. We had no advocate before the God, the Father. We had nobody that could be in our place and plead our case with God like Jesus does today. So this is what this is saying. This is what he's talking about here. This is your sacrifice right here. You want your voice heard by God? You want God to hear your problems? You want God to answer your prayers? This is the fast I have chosen. A day a man afflicts his soul. If you think that God is impressed with you when you do without food, do you think that just you can... Let me say it this way. I could fast until I'm down to 100 pounds. And if I'm doing wrong, if I'm wrong, and I'm not walking in righteousness, that fast has meant nothing to God. Doesn't impress him. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm not walking in truth, I'm not walking in righteousness, it doesn't matter how much money I give, no matter how much I fast, no matter how much I cry, no matter how much I beg, how much I plead, you better get in line with his word. That impresses God. And this is what he said. This is the way to get God's attention, to have your voice heard on high. This is it. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? I'm reading verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. See, God has given me the ability to break yokes. You're not going to hear churches preach this very often, that you can break yokes. Do you know you can break yokes off of other people? You can let the oppressed go free. Do you know that he gave you power to walk up on scorpions and serpents and nothing shall by any means hurt you? Didn't Jesus send them out two by two? He says, cleanse the leopards, cast out the devils. These signs will follow them that believe. Is this not the fast I have chosen? Is this not the way to get your God's attention? Is this not the way to have your answers come for your prayers? Is this not the way to get an ear for God to hear your voice? Is this not a way to get God looking in your life and involved in your life? This is what you do. You want to get God attention? This is what you do. This is your fast. This is your sacrifice. You break the bands of wickedness. You lift the heavy burdens off of other people. You let the oppressed go free. You break every yoke. You deal your bread to the hungry. You bring the poor that are cast out into your house. You see the naked and you put clothes on them. You don't even hide yourself from your own flesh. Then, he said, shall your light break forth as the morning. And then your health will spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord will be your reward or your rear guard. He'll protect your backside. Amen. He'll be watching out for you when you can't see. He'll see your enemy coming and he'll say, hey, you got a problem over here. You'll know a problem come before it ever comes. That's what kind of glory he promises the people who know how to get God's attention. I'm just sharing the standard. God has set a standard. He set a decree. Look at the next verse. Then shalt thou call. Glory. Then you'll call. And the Lord shall answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. I don't have a problem getting God's attention. People say, I don't know how you get a hold of God. Try this. Just try this. He'll say, here I am. Ring, ring. God says, hello, it's Teresa. What you need today? Because I know I can trust you to let the oppressed go free. I can trust you to bless people. I can trust you to tell the truth. I can trust you to love other people. I can trust you to give when I tell you to give. I can trust you to help other people. I can trust you to be a blessing in the earth. I can trust you to love others when they don't deserve it. I can trust her. She'll sacrifice herself for other people. Jesus said, if someone asks you to go a mile, I'll go with you too. How's that? Anyone that would borrow of you, turn thou not away. How about that? I don't even let people borrow from me. You want to borrow something from me? I'm sorry. The Lord says to owe no man anything. So I guess I better not let you owe me. So I better just give that to you. Woo! Glory to God. That's a new concept because it's a standard of the kingdom of God. It's a heavenly way of life. It's a new kingdom way of living. It's a new work in your life. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Call on me, I'll hear. Woo, glory. Isn't this good? There's a standard. And your health will spring forth speedily. It's just amazing how that works. Because you know why? The kingdom of heaven is the most unselfish place you'll ever live. The kingdom of heaven is the most unselfish because the kingdom is reverse. It's about others. You put others first, yourself last. But in doing that, really, God's putting you first. God just exalts you. God just blesses you because you don't worry about you because you know he'll worry about you. He worries about me more than I worry about me because I'm busy worrying about others. Y'all see that? You see, I used to go to the grocery stores. Not only this is how I started. This is how I started operating in this revelation. I go to the grocery store. Somebody's walking in. And I say, you go ahead. You can have the best cart. Might be the only rickety little cart with a wheel broken. I'll take it. I'm fine. Here I am. I'm walking down the hall with this rickety cart. It's okay. I'm blessed somebody else with a better cart. I don't care. Because he'll bless me. I used to buy all the dented cans. Nobody else will want them cans, but I'm going to bless that grocery man. Small town grocery store. He'll have a hard time selling that. I'll buy it. I'd buy the dented cans. I'm serious. I did this. I did not put myself above anybody. And I go through line. There'd be a long line. Go ahead, you go on ahead. You go on ahead of me. It's just little things. Little things. Little things. Somebody couldn't pay their grocery bill. I'll take care of that. Give them my last few dollars to pay that grocery bill. But see, I knew it was coming back to me. That will always come back. I have an account in heaven. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but you got an account going on in heaven. Did you know you've got an account? An account. I have an account that I've been working on. I'm laying up righteousness. Isn't this good this morning? Woo, glory. This is called being a citizen of the kingdom. My citizenship is in heaven. Jesus told the disciples, don't rejoice because the devils do what you tell them to do, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Your names are written in heaven. That's where your joy is. That's where your joy is. I trust him. I just trust him to be, he honors his word. There's a scripture in Psalms, I'm not real sure where it is, but he says, he exalts his word even above his name. And you know how big his name is? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to his name. But he says he exalts his word even above his name. Now we're going to go to Revelation 22, and then we'll close. Revelation 22. I'm so thankful that I do not have to be perfect. I just know the perfect one who helps me walk in righteousness. And I honor that. I have a revelation of it. I have a revelation of the standard. And I know how to kiss the Son. I know how to bless him. I know how to straighten things out when I'm wrong. And thank God he gave me the Holy Spirit to help me. Amen. I don't have to figure this out alone. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first of the last. You know what I told the Lord this morning? And I mean this with all my heart. And I told him, and I mean this. He knows I mean this. I wish I could go back. Let me try to get my composure here. I told him this morning, I said, Lord, I wish I could go back 30 years and know what I know now. I would have done way more to help people. I would have done way more praying, more giving, more doing for him. I would have tried harder to save souls. I wouldn't have been so selfish and so self-centered. Because I know people are lost right now because of my selfishness, my self-centered. In a dental office one day, and I was going through so many problems, and there was a girl there who called me out of hours. I mean, she wasn't even on the schedule or nothing. She just called me asking for help. And I was so overwhelmed with my own self and my own little world that I didn't go to her. And she hung herself the next week or two. And I should have been there for her. And I just think about all the opportunities I've had in my life that I've missed. I've missed, Lord. You know, all I can do is from this day forward, I've learned how to do what the Word says, forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the mark. Thank God I'm still breathing. I'm still living. I still have time to serving. I still have time to learn of him. I still have time to set the decrees. I still have time to kiss him and love him and do what I can. And hopefully I have another 20 years before he comes. I don't know. We don't know. But I am so sorry from my heart, and he knows it. He knows. I tell him that. I told him that this morning. I just wish with all my heart, I wish I could go back. And what he says. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You know, I've lied. Everybody lies. I don't know anybody that lives every day and never wrong thing. But really the root of all that is fear and selfishness. Really it is. If you really trust God 100%, you can tell the truth and know that even if it looks like it's going to mess you up, he'll work it out. Because you're honoring you're honoring the word. You're honoring him. But the key to this verse here is the ones that are without are the ones who love, who make a lifestyle out of it. They just don't know other way to live because they don't know how to trust God. They don't know how to walk in the truth. And he said, that's just the ones that are out there. They're not going to enter into that city. They that love and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Father, I seal this word today, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name.